Hei, og velkommen til podcast Hvorfor Norge? En podcast som får lyse historier av ulike mennesker som har kommet til Norge og har fått til det ganske få får til. I dag sitter jeg med en one of a kind guest, and I'm gonna turn into English to say welcome, Younes.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you wanted to come. I'm gonna tell you, Younes El Khomri.
Mm-hmm.
You are originally French.
Yes.
And you're known by every French-speaking people, at least in Norway, for being the best cake maker in the city.
Yeah, or, I mean, yeah.
So, first of all, I'm so happy that you said yes. I've watched your Instagram, and I've been at Mendel's several times, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, let's give it a try, and you said yes right away, which is very nice.
Yeah, of course.
And I think, so the purpose of this podcast is to put into light stories of people that are kind of brought their talent or their skills also from abroad and add it to Little Norway to make it more rich. And I think you are spot on as such.
Yeah.
Because you imported a whole bunch of stuff that perhaps Norwegian consumers are not used to see, buy, eat.
Or experience.
Experience. So do you mind if we go back first to your personal story? What brought you to Norway as originally?
Well, that's that's a pretty long story, but originally I'm from Morocco. I'm born and raised in Morocco, and then I moved to France when I was 10.
Ah, okay. I didn't know that part of your
journey. So I grew up,
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town called Kenitra.
Okay.
It's I think it's about 20 kilometers north of Rabat.
Okay.
So it's close to the capital.
Exactly, yeah.
And then I moved to France when I was 10, because my father was already in France.
Okay.
And, you know, from my little town to France, and so I had very quickly fell in love with the French food scene. Not directly to the sweet part, but mainly for the cuisine.
Yes.
So I was amazed by the, you know, quality and the large range of speciality, either if north, south, west, east. It's every part of France has its own type of you know, speciality and way of consuming food,
yes.
etc. So I thought it was really interesting. So I just explored a bit more that field. So I first learned how to be a chef, but it was a bit too messy for my square brain. So I needed something more, much more, as I said, squarey and a little bit more focus into details and having more scientific aspect to it.
Well, that's very interesting.
Not that cuisine is all over the place, but it's more like a feeling type of thing. Pastry, it's more about respecting a strict recipe and the way of actually doing things. Yeah.
Mm.
So I needed that, even though it's really creative, but it's also it's kind of paradoxical because, you know, you have to be really strict but also very creative at
visionary.
The same time.
Visionary, yeah, exactly. Mm.
So that exactly what I needed. So it was a pretty spot on for me to just to do pastry. And then after I was I got my degree, so I moved to London for some years. Then I worked at the Royal Navy to begin with.
I've seen that. It's very your CV is very impressive. How is it to come from France and do food for the UK?
It was, I mean, at first it was more the integration part that was quite difficult for me, but it was not as hard as when I moved from Morocco to France, because I was much younger and my French was not really as it is today. So once I've learned French and I've learned how to use my hand when it comes to cooking and pastry making, the next goal was to learn English, because it was almost not existing at the time. So the only way for me to do so was to actually put myself in the same type of positive stress. So I moved to London and I just randomly find a job at the Royal Navy. And I think the hardest part was actually to learn the language. Because, you know, you have 30 guys screaming at you in English. You don't, you know, and you're in the middle of a service and you don't understand anything. And it's like, so you just have to sort of, it's just throwing you in the ocean and then you have to learn how to swim.
But were you already only working on cakes and pastry then?
Yeah, yeah. I was actually, that was one of my first mistakes to say that I was actually able to do both, basically. So I ended up doing also, you know, savory fish, sauces, anything. So it was a hard one, but I mean, it was really nice for me because my goal to begin with was to learn English. So I was working really hard, but I was also getting closer to my goal.
Mm.
So and then I worked after the Royal Navy. I went to Harrods, where I actually experienced much more. A deeper aspect of what luxury pastry making is. And it was very interesting to work in such environment and such a place. And then after some years, so I was actually around 26, then I moved back home to France, and then not really knowing what I wanted to do. And I was talking with a friend, which we decided to have a road trip in Europe. But that friend couldn't handle the heat, and it was like in the summertime. So he was saying that he wanted to have a pretty chill summer. But I was like, yeah, but most of the countries in Europe is pretty hot right now, yeah?
So apart from
Scandinavia, but I mean that was not the first choice because you know the rest of Europe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we all know that there is something up north, but not really like you know probably today because it's more trendy and because of social media, etc. But I mean, 10 years ago, it was not as popular as it is now.
No. For sure, it was very random.
Yeah. So people were always mixing Oslo and Stockholm. And we were just reading these things that is the best country in the world, but we really didn't know. And there is no studies in school about Scandinavia or a little bit about the Vikings, but that's about it. So it's just something up north. So we don't really know what it is, you know, regardless how beautiful it is. But I mean, so the first choice was to go to North England since I've been in UK for some years, but since it's a road trip, so we had to drive in the wrong side of the road, so that could have been a little bit messy, or at that time it would have been messy for us. So we just randomly decided to go up to Scandinavia, which I didn't know anything about. I didn't know anything about the culture. I didn't know absolutely nothing about it. So we just decided to drive from France to Lofoten Island.
Oh, so wow.
That was my first experience with Lofoten Island, in Norway in general. So we drove all the way, this old Renault, you know, it's a very old car. So we drove all the way up from France to Lofoten.
How many hours did it take?
We spent around a week.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
We didn't want to spend a week, but we just, you know, we didn't have any plan, you know. That's the story of my life. I didn't have any plan to do anything. So we just been driving, and whenever we had a feel, we just went out of the main road. And that's how we found out about a lot of nice places all the way up north. And when we arrived up north in Lofoten, after the boat ride, then I felt something kind of special about this place, right? It's you know this sense of finding something that you didn't really looking for. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but it was extremely powerful for me. I was surprised how beautiful a place could could be.
So it's kind of a love story, but for Norway.
Yeah, it is. It is, regardless the culture and everything, because I didn't experience anything like that. But I was just about the landscape and the beauty of the landscape. So I got really intrigued because it was, I mean, I've been traveling around in many places and, you know, crowded the high resource hotels, and I've been to the state, and but nothing like that, you know. So then I decided to go again. So I've did it all. I've been to Norway, Sweden, Finland, Faroe Island, Iceland, Svalbard, even in the middle of winter. So it was minus 58. So that was fun. And then I discovered that I have a really strong how to say that.
You were attracted to Norway?
Yeah, I had a very strong attraction about Scandinavian countries, and especially Norway, because of the landscape. And I found out that I was capable of doing some outdoor activities that I didn't know about myself. So that was a good thing for me.
So you embraced the outdoor culture?
Yeah.
You did?
Much more than I used to.
Because how long have you been now living in Norway?
For 8 years.
And you have embrace this culture of being utpotur.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly the
so cool.
That was exactly the thing. So before knowing the Norwegians and Norwegian culture, and even not knowing anything about the culture, so I just fell in love with what Norway is about, which is the landscape and you know, the outdoor living.
Mm.
And then I moved to Oslo in late 2016. And then I started working in the first year I worked at Pascal.
that's so fun, because when I came to Norway, I came in 2010, so that's 14, yeah, almost 15 years ago. Mm. And at that time, he was the most famous French people. For Norwegians, it was people were asking me, do you know me? Yeah. Do you know him? Yeah. Oh, of course,
Still today is a very strong name.
It's like he's more like a living brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And so it's fun. I was about to do the joke about that, and then I've seen yesterday evening on your profile that you worked there. So I was like, yes, that's very nice. The dots are connected.
Yeah, yeah. So I worked there for about a year and a half, something like that, to begin with, and it was a good foot in to understand the other aspect of the Norwegian culture, which is the consuming part, which was the most interesting for me.
Yes.
So it was a nice experience, and Pascal is a nice guy. Mm. I mean, we had a very good laugh. So it was a nice experience, and then I worked as a pastry chef in Holmenkollen at the hotel. But the old version, because now it's completely redone.
Okay.
But it was nice, and then, you know, Corona, and then.
Is that why you started your own?
That's not why, but
that's how, perhaps.
Yeah, that's how I started it. And to start with, like, actually, there is a funny story around that. It was around the Easter time, and because the first lockdown was, I think, around
March,
Easter
April,
time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I was without a job, like most of the people, and then locked down. So I didn't know really what's the next step, because there was very early on the Corona lockdown. So no one knew what it was. So I just decided back then to just make some easy stuff for friends, you know, like chocolate and cakes, and just to keep myself busy. And then I started to make it for a friend of friends, and then it became quite a thing. And then, you know, in my previous apartment, the window of the kitchen was right on the first floor, so I had people queuing at the window.
No kidding.
On the walk side.
This is hilarious.
Yeah, to get their order, but this went to the point that actually Vips had to cut off my my account, because I had too much small transaction. So they were thinking that I was dealing drugs. so, So
no, it's just chocolate for these British
people.
Yeah,
so I had to just sort of justify, like, oh no, that's just cakes, you know. So that was kind of funny. So this is how basically.
Wait, were your customers then French? Or were they actually...
No, I had, because it was on social media, so at some point, like, people start to just randomly, you know, sliding to DMs for some products. So there was, of course, it was some French to begin with, because that was most likely for France. But at the end, it was quite fun. And then that's how Mendels started, basically. And the rest is...
Because you moved to a new location. I was so excited by your first location. And then I saw, oh, wow, they're moving into Karl Johan. It's a very nice location you're at now.
Yeah, yeah. It's much bigger and it's much... It's a much bigger upgrade.
Mm. Definitely. Yeah.
So we won several prizes and we had, now it's start to be much bigger than just myself, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have, we are over close to 30 employees.
30? That was one of my questions, actually. Mm. But do you plan to open new locations, or are you...
Yeah, we are actually working on the second location now. That's going to... So it's not official, no. But it is opening in around April.
That's exciting. Again, an Easter egg. Yeah.
So
sorry.
I have something with Easter.
Easter.
I have something
that's
with
cool.
Easter and So,
I don't know if you would define yourself as a French chef or a Moroccan chef or a British French trained.
No, how do you, I think the way I define myself is more about someone that just learning and just trying to, you know, do things the way they should be done, basically. And
you're not strict with your employees, like the cliche French chef.
No, not that I want to blame anyone to run his business or to run his kitchen the way they want, but I think each one of us has his own way to think that through. And my vision, and I'm talking just about my own vision of that job, I feel like people are attempt to give better of themselves in an environment where they feel that they are in the middle of the process, you know. So the way I've learned, I was very lucky to work with really good chefs and very good people that actually took time to teach me things and take time to taught me the way, like most of the thing that I know today, or probably it's just because I've been also, this is a thought that I have been actually thinking of, is that probably I have always been focusing on something that will just make me grow, and the thing that actually I didn't really need, so that kind of behavior, that kind of chef that was just screaming, etc. So I just sort of avoid that. So probably I've been through a lot of that, but I just decide to be more focused on what brings me value.
Do you work with a lot of nationalities at Mendels, or is it mainly Norwegians working with you?
In production, it's probably 80% French.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, not that I do that in purpose, but it's just because I think what we do attract
definitely
French people. And I think in the shop, it's in our venue in Kalimonsgata, it's a lot of Norwegians speaking. But even though there, it's we have the manager, the main manager, it's Swedish, she's Swedish. And then the assistant manager, she's from Philippines, and so we have a lot of nationalities. Yeah.
How is it to work with a lot of these nationalities? Do you find it challenging, or in a way, well, it's just the company culture that kind of get on boards everyone, and as such, it works.
I think for me, I like it that way because it's really interesting. Every one of us has a history, and every one of us has a way of thinking, so it's more, I see it more as as a bigger picture than just being mainstream, and so okay. I think it's really interesting.
That's very nice. And regarding the French branding, because I think it's Mendel's Paris or Paris.
Yeah.
Did you do that to kind of connect clearly the name of your brands to the French heritage?
Yeah, the plan was to open in Paris, actually.
Oh, was it?
It's much more challenging than I was thinking that it could be. And the logo has been done that way because, of course, to sort of have a stamp on it and, because that's what we do.
Exactly. But in a way, I think it feels the branding regarding the French goodwill.
Mm.
No, at least the France has, among Norwegians, this established quality stamp in terms of
of
food,
course.
Definitely, and luxury pastry as such.
Absolutely. So that's exactly what it's about.
Why do you think Norwegians are attracted to the French touch? What do they search when they push the door of your boutique?
I think, there is a saying in France, is dessert is international, but the pastry is French. And I think it's it's very much synonym of quality. It's... The French gastronomy is, 1,000 years, so it's deeply rooted. So I think that's what people, when they hear that it's French cuisine, it's most likely a synonym of quality and, like eating good food, basically.
Did you have to adapt different of your recipes towards Norwegian? Okay, that's interesting.
No,
tell us about it.
Because, the way I think I've learned that when I came to Norway. When you study in France and you have, to become whatever, actually, not necessary in the kitchen. But you have this competitive type of studying or... you have this competition aspect of whatever you do. So in the kitchen, it's between student and there is always this competition aspect. Who's gonna do the best looking cake? Who's gonna do? So we grew up in that kind of mentality, which is good because that's probably why French are so good in what they do. It's just because they have to be the best all the time, when you are in that competition, you forget sometime why do you actually do that, so when you work in the French kitchen in a hotel, every year is the one who's going to do the best a Christmas log, is the one who's going to do the most advanced galette des rois or such things, And then when I was in London, it was the same, so that was like this competition, constant competition among, your colleague and et cetera. And when I moved to Norway, I still had this type of way of thinking, And then I've learned the hard way that Norwegians are not about that at all.
Janteloven.
Yeah, they are not into being competitive, or they are much simpler in the way of or in their approach of what things should be done and so when I was doing cakes and when I was working in Holmenkollen, I was doing this very advanced plated desserts with a lot of different textures, a lot of different, and the plates were coming almost full because people didn't really understand what it was about, They couldn't
understand.
Or they
wouldn't taste it at all?
Yeah, or they would, but they didn't really, it was too complicated in many sense, right? So, and I got really frustrated and when I'm getting really frustrated about things, I usually call my dad. And then I asked him, and it's like, I have this and that, and and this doesn't work, and I don't understand because this is some of the dessert that I used to do back in London or in France, or this, I don't get it. And they were like, yeah, because, and he is like really this straightforward type of,
can relate, you know, to that.
Yeah. He's, but because you just cook for yourself. That's the only thing you do. It's just you are actually just doing this to feed your ego. That's what you do. It's just to prove to everybody else that you're the best, that you do the best, this, that. But actually, no one care. The only thing that they want is to eat a dessert.
That they enjoy, exactly.
As simple as that,
yeah.
You know? So keep it simple. Use as less ingredients as you can, because less is more, right? And then that's what I did, and now we don't take anyone by surprise. It's really straightforward flavors.
So you kept the French DNA of doing the recipes,
but
loyal to the original recipe, you choose perhaps more simple recipes to enjoy.
Yeah. If you come to Mendel's or in our facility, what we do is very simple. It's, you know, lemon tart, and that actually shows that what people want is just simplicity. And when you don't have enough basis, you don't understand that, because you go always for overkill. That's why when you begin in the pastry school, you are loaded with a lot of information, and the only thing you see is the people at the top, and you want to do the same type of cake. You want to achieve things that people been doing for 20 years, and you're just starting, you know? And it's okay, because that's the way
it
is.
You have to shoot for some
of the
stars.
You have to aim bigger than yourself to just grow and learn. But then that shouldn't stop you from actually.
But what's interesting is that, so if some people listen to us now and haven't been to your store, you make it sound very simple. It's extremely beautiful, and it's extremely also appealing in terms of taste. It's very clear when you read the cake descriptions what's inside. This is about strawberry, this is about lemon, and this is about hazelnut. So that, I think I understand. It seems that you found the perfect balance between being loyal to the fine art of pastry as a French chef, however, making it approachable and understandable for someone who perhaps doesn't even know how to pronounce the name of the cakes, right?
Yeah. No, but the thing is, you know, when I came to Norway, I just discovered that the raw material in Norway are extremely good. They have a really good milk, and they have fantastic butter. The only thing is that it's a bit lacking, I would say, is the flour. You know, the control of the typology of the flour, because in France we are like really, you know, into typology of the flour,
okay,
the strength of the flour. So it's a big study, because, you know, we do a lot of bread and so does Norway, but, you know, not in the same type of aspect.
Okay.
So from there, I just decide to just keep everything simple. So if you come to Mendel's, the fridge is full of just milk, cream, eggs, butter. Most of our recipes is just that, you know. It's just for lemon cream.
There's no secret ingredients, like
it's not. No,
tears of a lost fox in the woods.
Absolutely not. So it's a very, you know, and French pastry is all about that, you know. If you... The oldest recipes is only like, you know, pâte à choux, madeleine. And what is madeleine? It's just flour, sugar, eggs, and that's about it, you know? So that's what we do. And but, you know, we do it the best way possible, even though it's simple, you know?
Are you designing all your recipes yourself, and then you teach your team on how to reproduce them?
No, actually not.
Tell us about the innovation or the creativity process at Mendel's.
The creativity and the innovation is the best idea has to win.
Okay.
So
you've reproduced that kind of approach in terms of what did you sell?
Yeah. So it's, you know, the espresso tart is actually not from me, but it's from my previous sous chef. Meaning the best idea has to win. Meaning is not even if it's from
someone
a
else.
Student that we have or someone that experienced something else elsewhere, and he comes and is like, "Oh, I have this super recipe, and so go for it.
What about your Moroccan heritage? Do you use it in your pastry?
Of course, because it has to do a lot with, you know, the background and the feel and the, you know, all. I think it's. When I think about it, yeah, it's I spend 10 years in Morocco and then 10 years in France and then almost 10 years in London.
Exactly, that's such an interesting mix.
Yeah, and almost now 10 years in Norway.
Please don't tell me that UK is best at cakes.
No,
no, good.
No, but they have a lot of good things as well. But I mean, so for me, it's Morocco is the place where I'm born and raised, and then France is the place where I've outgrow myself and then, you know, learn new skills and gain some tools that I'm able now to use to go forward. And then UK shaped me as, you know, being professional and you know.
For sure, yeah.
And learning new aspect of you know, about myself. So today, of course, Morocco, this is where I'm born, but the rest is... I don't feel I have a specific place
that I
could say, oh, this is my heritage and this is what I know best, or this, because for me, you know, France and UK is as much important as Morocco for me, and now Norway is as much important as.
So Norway is home now?
Of course, because this is where I have my my business. Uh-huh. This is where I have my colleagues, my employees, my. You know, this is where I have sort of settled, basically. But, you know, the chance made it to Norway, but I could have went to Scotland and then probably would have been another, you know. So it's just like, as I said, to begin with, I don't have any plan. So
do you experience Norwegian consumers are open and curious to have new food experience?
Yeah, they are to a certain extent. But they are definitely, you know, like everybody else. The word is moving. I would have been stupid to think otherwise, you know. Look at France, you know. Back in the days, the only thing we were eating is blanquette de veau, bœuf bourguignon, and then suddenly one guy came and was like, "Oh, I'm gonna do burger." Everyone laughed at him, but now it's the most consumed dish in France, you know, by far.
Mm. Okay, I didn't know that.
So, but the word is moving, you know? So, of course, people have access to everything today, you know? Norwegians are traveling. So, of course, they are curious about new things. But it has to be done right. That's the only thing.
I know that Mendels has such a happy story and a success story. What are your plans for the future? You mentioned the second location for this year, perhaps?
Yeah. Yeah, we have...
I've seen that you recruit also. I've seen this on LinkedIn. You actively recruit.
Yeah.
You need to grow.
Yeah. We have this big project that is opening in April, as I mentioned. So it's... the only thing I'm actually allowed to say is this. It's in... it's a very big upgrade to what we have now. So I've been working in that project for close to a year now. So we're going to have much more to experience. So it's going to be a brunch bar. It's going
to
be...
That's great. Yeah. I want to go to the brunch bar.
And we're going to have also the, a new afternoon tea with an insane view.
So people, stay tuned for Mendels 2025.
So it's gonna be it's a big.
Do you get free cake if you work at Mendels?
Of course.
Oh my god.
Yeah, free cakes and no problem. Free cakes and more than that. Actually,
an international team.
Yeah.
A passionate, I guess, committed.
Yeah, of course.
Fun and welcoming.
You know, we have people that come and go. Of course, you know, people have plans and you know, some of them are a bit younger and, you know, they want to experience different things. So, yeah, but as it is today, we have a pretty international team, yeah.
That's so cool. Younes, I've prepared for you 5 quick questions before we say bye-bye.
Absolutely.
What is your favorite Norwegian cake?
My favorite Norwegian cake? I think the first one is gulrotkake. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah. Right?
And then the second one, I think, is the waffle with the brunost. I know it's...
That's uber Norwegian.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's just such a cliche, but I think it's really nice. It's really nice.
What is the worst name to pronounce for Norwegian consumers? Is it croissant? What do they struggle most with?
I think it's...
Tartatin.
Yeah, tartatin, I think, is one of them. And also the baguette, for some ones, is like baguette. I don't get that one either.
No. So you sell bread?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we did, but, you know, we have sort of locked ourselves into, you know, Mendel's. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's
pastry and chocolate.
That's so nice. And chocolate. Oh, Parfait. If you were to eat during 1 year only Napoleon's coque and les bleus de coque, uh-huh, which one would you try?
Napoleon's coque, definitely.
Really? Mm. Do you think that Napoleon...
Without the rum, though.
No.
Because I think it's a bit overkill.
Do you think Napoleon would be happy to see what they've done with the name in Norway and give him a cake? I think it's hilarious to think about.
Well, I mean, you could have had a fish name, or you know, it's nice to be. it's better to be a cake, isn't it?
At least you're sweet.
Exactly.
Are you more into dugnad or fagforening møte, like union meeting?
I think dugnad.
Like as a Norwegian citizen, you do the dugnad?
Yeah, I think.
Do you do dugnad at Mendel's?
Not really.
I'm not sure how it would look like. Everybody has to taste all the cakes, okay. Yeah. What's your favorite Norwegian expression?
I don't think I have any expression that I like most, but I have a word that I really love for some reason. It's slikkepott.
Oh, that's quite cute, isn't it?
I think it's a nice name. I don't know why. It's like the word I...
And it suits perfectly for your
exactly.
job, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I have a couple of those, actually.
With the Marius Gensel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite cute. Thank you so much, Younes.
Of course. My pleasure.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you for having me.
I invite all of you that listen to us to go to Mendel's. You won't regret it.
Absolutely not.
And all the best for the future.
Thank you very much.
It's very exciting plans.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.